Gates of Orchid and Iris is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you. Remember to like, share, comment, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Hello, this is Gates of Orchid and Iris. I am the GM, Paul. And who is playing tonight?
This is Sebastian Seabass, and I'm playing Ikoma Chuse.
This is Gatch Retches, and I'm playing Kaio Suko.
This is Ludo, and I'll be playing Matsu Erika.
This is Rachel, and I am playing Kuni Suiko.
I'm Mason, I'm playing Shishiro Saika.
I'm Kay, and I will be playing various NPCs today.
And so Yogasuya takes you basically outside, and you can see the basket heads in the distance. And she looks very, very worried, and she keeps looking back at the group and then back at you.
I mean, I'm unsure what she's worried about, so I mean, I will, you know, just continue along, you know, working our way out of the area, trying to return to the checkpoint to retrieve my things.
Yep. And she's just looking like freaked out, and she finally like stops, you know, and just whispers, "Did you see all those men?"
I did, but I'm unfamiliar with this area, so I guess I should be more concerned with what is going on.
She nods, and she, like, gets in closer and just whispers, "They're all gonna die."
That is quite foreboding.
She nods, and at this point, like, just giant, like, she's literally unmasking in front of you, and just giant tears are rolling, and she basically uses you as her personal shoulder to cry on.
I probably wouldn't really even know how exactly to react best. Yeah.
So is it one of those awkward moments she starts crying on you and you're like, do that one-handed hug and you're like, okay?
Yeah, I mean, I would do what I think is best, which is probably something similar to that. But still try to move us further along, thinking if we can get out of the area, it would be best for both of us.
Mm-hmm. So you finally like heard her toward you know, the area out, and you know, you collect your weapons that you gave over, she collects hers, and she is slowly, like, starting to, like, just go into a stupor and sleep as you're riding on the boat. And the boat ride is a little bit longer as you hear, like, alarm bells actually go off in the area. And, you know, a few minutes pass by and you have to go further down the river. And, pretty soon you have, like, she's in half a daze, just with streaks in her makeup, and she Yeah, she's almost to that point where if she didn't have to walk, she would probably pass out. What do you do?
I will offer her to come back to the tea house to compose herself if she would like.
And she agrees. And you lead her to the tea house.
You make your way through the winding streets and back alleys to the hidden tea house. And at this time in the morning, the tea house looks almost abandoned. There is no sign of Soshi Dokumi. Most of the regulars who would be here at this time are absolutely gone. And there's way more tables and alcoves just vacant. And the servers are minimum. They're at a skeleton crew. A waitress recognizes you as you walk in. They lead you to your normal table, Shishiro Seika. And you sit down and they immediately start serving you tea. You sit there with Yoko Seiya. Silence falls between the two of you. And you realize she's finally fallen asleep at the table. Many days pass after the encounters of Ikoma Chuse and Shishiro Seika. The persistent march towards spring continues as the days of Tiger pass. The first flowers of the approaching spring, which starts in hair, signal the dark days are almost over. In the streets, the city is bustling with activity as a holiday for the lower classes comes, Shouting Day. In the streets of the merchant district, we see Ikoma Chuse, Matsu Kinsho, and Matsu Hanako roaming the streets on foot. Matsu Hanako is walking with purpose and direction. She's going to her usual places that she goes to, places that she is actually a patron of. She is a patron of several flower shops, several vase shops, basically anything that has to do with Ikebana, she's a patron of, and she frequents. Some people who know her well, either they know that she's at her compound, or she's at a flower shop. And this day, Shouting Day, when all the peasants shout at people who, or basically samurai and people who are higher up, and they give their grievances out to people, not many people have things to shout at Hanako for. So, while every other, like, samurai is getting, like, shouted at, the areas around Hanako are pleasant. Maybe someone will, like, speak loudly to her, and it's just the fact that she's a lion.
Yep, understandably so.
But other than clan and family, like, there's nothing really of concern. You're traveling with her. She does like your companionship. Like, it's not a bad one. And also her husband's with her, who is this very large man who, at least by the stories go, was a crab that Hanako met when she was in Crablands for a little bit. And somehow they were allowed to marry, and they were actually in love. And he lost his name because she challenged him to a duel to keep her own name and force him to take his. So he is now known as, let's see, Matsu Kinsho.
Nice. Yep. In fact, Ikoma would have mentioned in the past too that you know, Lady Matsu giving you her name was the best thing that could have happened. She's obviously rubbed off on you so well.
We'll just put that in the present. And Kincho laughs as they stroll down the street. And, yeah, they're...
Yeah, we got the bump in the trunk and the 50-inch rims.
Yeah. So, and unlike some other, like, samurai who travel around on top of horses or in pelicans or, you know, ways to either raise themselves or make them, like, not be in a crowd, it seems like Lady Matsu and her husband stroll around. Well, they are imposing people, to say the least. Matsu Hanako is a tall lady. Despite being over 50, she's still, like, quite athletic. You've probably personally seen her grab what seems to be, like, large vases and stuff with one hand and take them over to her gazebo to work on Ikebana. And if she's asked you to, like, carry them or carry the same type, you know you've had a, like, not a difficult time, but, you know, if you were a weaker individual, it would have been hard. Gates of Orchid and Iris will return in a moment.
Welcome to Cultural Explorations. During this gameplay break, let us explore Asian culture. Today we will talk about how Chinese tea traveled from China to other countries. In 593 of the Sui Dynasty, Buddhist monks introduced tea to Japan. However, the planting of tea trees in Japan didn't occur until 1192. Tea was introduced to Korea in the mid-600s of the Tang Dynasty by monks. Korea began producing their own tea after 828. In 641, a princess sent to Tibet for marriage introduced the custom of tea drinking, which became popular in Tibet from the 700s onwards. During Southern Song Dynasty, from the 1120s to the 1270s, some Marco Polo write about tea from his travels in China. China also began trading with Arabia, Italy, and several African countries. The Ming Dynasty of the 1360s to 1640s saw tea travel even further. Tea planting was done in Indonesia, and in 1610, the East India Company introduced green tea to Europe. In 1637, China began trading with more countries such as Britain, France, and Spain. During the Qing Dynasty, which went from 1644 until 1911, saw trade caravans to Russia begin in 1735, bringing tea drinking there as well as India starting toward producing tea in the late 1700s. Today, China is the top producer of tea, followed by India and Kenya. In terms of consumption, China still ranks the highest with 1.6 billion pounds a year. However, if you look at consumption per person, this changes. In terms of kilograms per person drank, Turkey leads the group with the UK and Iran rounding out the top three. Thank you for listening. Want to learn more about this and other topics? Visit our Patreon page for longer cultural explorations. And now, back to the story.
Also, Matsu Hanako likes to travel. I wouldn't say in style, but armed to the teeth. And most of the weapons that she has on her, when she has weapons, are what you know are trophies from other people. But you know her.
I was about to say, my lady is certainly impressive. That is definitely certain. wearing her weapons out in the city. That is a quite the show.
Yep. Well, you also know the true prizes are in her house. She has an impeccable taste for interior design and somehow matches Ikebana and weapon display and somehow merges them into one.
Quite a unique concept. Only something a refined Matsu would think of. But Ikoma's not one to question his lady. That's certain.
Yep.
But there is an appreciation there.
So, on this shouting day, she's going around. She's talking business with you, like, out in the open, because, you know, she doesn't have much to hide. And, you know, it's been not too far away, far from the incident. And she asks you, "So, where were you a few nights ago?"
"Yes, it's been quite some time, lady. I have certainly wanted to share this news with you as soon as I possibly can. But, of course, duty calls, and I have been away. But maybe you'll be interested to know this. I'm sure you've already heard of the late magistrate."
She nods.
"Well, I was actually there for the events. I saw some of the things that occurred that night. And, well, not to make too much, not to say anything too crass, rather, but I hope that Ryoko Owari is prepared to hire many more Yuriki very quickly."
She nods and looks at you. She gives you that look of... No, she probably just says this. "Have you told anyone about this?"
Certainly not. I have not made my visit to the magistrate's office yet. I'd figured that they would want it filled first, before taking on any witnesses.
Hmm. "So, you saw the scene." "Hmm.
Yes, it was absolutely horrific. Nothing I've ever seen before."
"And, could you give me a quick... what is it? I think it's a void meditation check?"
"Ooh, all right, let's do it."
"And I think the TN is probably something low, like 2 or... No, let's make it 3. Let's make it interesting."
"All right. Man, I can't remember about void points. Do they get replenished when you sleep?"
I think they replenish... at the beginning of every session. Actually, if you do fail this check, you will regain a void. So,
ooh, interesting. All right.
Because this has to do with your
whatchamacallit from Hershey.
Yeah. Your adversity we added on.
Yeah, so it's I got one success.
That's not quite enough. So, as you stand there and she talks about witnessing this, you can feel the same uneasiness and slight terror you felt when you originally witnessed the scene.
Yeah. She's like, "Well, come on, go into more detail, please." And she says, like, "Yes. So, ooh." And at first it was a fine morning, fine day, jovial in fact, but up until this point something just struck Chusai right in his heart, basically. It's palpitating at this point. He didn't expect that at all. So he, instead of saying words, he kind of sputters a bit and puts his hand on his head. And he's like, I am much better with composition and words in that written format than I am verbally at this moment, madam. But I'm sure you'll have a full detailed report one way or another, either from myself or from the magistrate's office once they have new people.
She nods and gives you a slight knowing look that she kind of understands what just happened. And she looks and sees a tea shop and says, let's sit down and drink some tea.
Nothing would make me happier at this point.
She nods.
Although there is something, a thought in the back of Chusei's mind that says, well, maybe one thing could make me happier. He noticed that his arms, or he reached his other arm into his obi, which has a pouch of his medication in it.
Aha. So are you going to find a way to, like, sneak your medication in? Or?
If I happen to get any more strife, I certainly will. But right now it's just a thought in Chusei's mind. He almost starts to wonder, how long has it been since I've smoked any of this opium I have here? That's not a thought to have around noble company.
Mm-hmm.
So he shakes it off.
And you spend, you know, a good hour at the tea shop with Matsu Hanako and her husband. And it's very quiet. They're just keeping calm and not, like, prying the situation. Apparently they understand about the complications of when somebody sees something horrific. But then again, Matsu Kinshu was a crab. And he, like, looks at you. And he sips his tea and finally breaks the silence. I've been over the wall.
How horrible is it? I've heard many stories, but I figured they were just fairy tales, right?
Fairy tales would imply something good. No. It was a living nightmare. And when you see living nightmares, sometimes they haunt you for a very, very long time.
How do you deal with it?
Many people have many different ways to deal with it. I have seen brothers fallen into addiction because they can't get rid of the thoughts. Others power through it. But the best way is to find a way to take control of those nightmares.
Well, Chusei definitely ponders on that a moment. He doesn't know how to really feel about the events that transpired a few nights ago, but it was a surprise, certainly, that he couldn't verbalize his thoughts as well as he should have been able to. So he nods. He asks, or rather he says, that's great wisdom. Thank you for sharing that. But perhaps, well, I don't know. I guess he has just sense there. Thank you very much for that wisdom.
And Matsu Kinshu nods, and then he closes in the distance to make it a little bit more private. Was this your first time seeing a dead body?
So that's pretty forward, and Chusei kind of blushes at that question a little bit. But you know, being in polite company, right? Mm-hmm. But he does say, as if he's got something to prove. He's like, "No, of course not. I'm a samurai, after all. We live 3 feet away from death at all times."
Of course. But being the one at the sword's end and seeing what happened after a sword's end, or in this case, something far worse, can leave an imprint on a man. If you do have problems, if you do need to talk, I will listen.
I think the thing I can say first and foremost is I wish it was a sword that I was worried about. There was something unexplainable that night. It was dark. It was really hard to make out. But something's wrong.
Thank you for listening to Gates of Orchid and Iris. Remember to share, comment, and rate us where you can. If you're listening on YouTube, subscribe, like, and hit that bell notification button. Support this podcast by either going to our anchor.fm page and hitting the listener support button, or supporting us through Patreon. On Patreon, the $1 level not only will help improve this podcast, but you will receive an extended version of the Cultural Exploration segments monthly. And we have a lot of other fun things planned for Patreon.